Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 16 of 2019, March Madness Bracketology. I can use that word, right? I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Follow us on Instagram, /The Odds Breakers, as well as Facebook, /The Odds Breakers. We hope you had a fantastic Selection Sunday. I know I did. Got to watch a lot of games. Bet on a couple of them. Came out okay. A little bit less on the money line rollovers, but I bailed on a couple as well, so not terrible there. Let's get into a little bit of Selection Sunday, shall we? So it looks like the committee, you know, did what the committee does, you know. And not that I'm complaining, because to be honest with you, this tournament's awesome. 64 teams plus the four playing games, 68, whatever, is the perfect number out of 353 basketball teams. Don't change it. People can complain about Clemson getting in. People can complain about NC State not getting in. Clemson and NC State did not deserve it compared to top five seeds. They're in a Power Five conference. Now, did they deserve it over Temple? Yeah. You know, did they deserve it over Washington? Yeah. But still, the complaining has to kind of be small, because the truth is, it's just nice to have this many teams, and we know Clemson and NC State are not the top team or even the top four. So that's why this is perfect. The complaining, it's nice to make the dance, but the truth is, if you're left out, you didn't do enough, right? But on the other side of the coin, the committee didn't do any favors for Duke and Michigan State. You know, Michigan State, hard schedule. They had that extremely tough game against Kansas in the beginning of the year. Came back, and actually they're down by 20-something, and they only lost by 5. They played Texas, Louisville, Florida, you know. Pretty good non-conference schedule. They lost to Indiana twice. Sometimes a team has your number. They lost to another top team, Purdue. Stunk one at Illinois, and that's about it. They beat Michigan 3 times. As a matter of fact, if you look at most Vegas power ratings and KenPom, Michigan State is not only a top 5 or 6 team, they are a top 4 team, you know? And so why are they putting them against Duke if Duke's the overall one seed in the East? Maybe Duke, they felt that shouldn't be the overall one seed, because I guess Virginia's record was a little bit better. Virginia has, you know, 3 total losses. Duke has 5 total losses. Another thing that can be said, maybe the committee wanted to punish Duke because they get the top five, 3 of the top 5 recruits. That's like having 3 top 5 draft picks in the NFL, if you want to think about it, or the NBA. You know, maybe they want to get punished a little bit for that, but I don't know. Another thing you can say, I guess, Michigan State's a little bit more injured. Aarons is definitely going to be out the way he rolled that ankle. That's a high ankle sprain. I've done that before playing basketball in my heyday, probably in the park. And I still have pain from it, to be honest with you. Once in a while, my foot rolls. But anyways, maybe it's because they think they're a weaker 2 seed. But then you got Michigan. That's a 2 seed on the easy side of the bracket. They're playing Gonzaga, and we know Gonzaga's powerful, but they had the easiest schedule out of probably all of the tournament teams, much less maybe St. Mary's, right? But Gonzaga had the easiest schedule playing in the West Coast Conference, and where, you know, most of those teams, None of them are in the top 50 except for St. Mary's, right? So you put, I mean, if I'm a number two seed, that's where I want to go. I don't want to go under, you know, Virginia. I definitely don't want to go under Duke. I don't want to go under North Carolina. But Gonzaga, I can definitely live with. And you got Michigan sitting there, you know. And then the other number two seed, Kentucky. I thought they would have been better fitted there, even Tennessee. But either way, it doesn't matter. KenPom actually has Michigan, the top five team, so maybe they went by that a little bit. I don't know why they gave so much love to the Pac-12. Maybe it's ASU's hard non-conference schedule that they went through. I definitely like that. But, you know, they kind of faltered a little bit in the Pac-12, ended up not being ranked too high, you know. And I don't know what happened there. I really love their coach, Bobby Hurley. But ASU is ranked ahead of some of those teams like, well, the Clemsons, the Memphises, they're right next to Memphis, Lipscomb, Indiana, Nebraska, Penn State, TCU, Creighton, Texas, you know, kind of interesting. And then Washington's not far above them. Washington has zero top 50 wins, my friends. Zero. Okay? Zero. That's the funny thing about the committee. They say that in order to keep someone out, they'll say, oh, you know, they had nine losses and no top 50 wins. They're out. And then they say, oh, the Pac-12, Washington's, you know, schedule and, you know, what they did in the Pac-12 regular season really puts them out. They really have no basis, and they make excuses for all their crazy moves. There's no consistency there. But all in all, at the end of the day, you still got to beat every team. All right. Well, let's get into that new way of sports betting that I have discussed before called FanVest. FanVest Wagering Exchange. I actually logged in. It's pretty awesome. They're like the stock market of sports. FanVest is a digital exchange that lets you invest and trade fantasy sports teams like stocks to monetize your sports knowledge without losing your ass or your wallet. FanVest replace complicated odds with intuitive, tradable fantasy sports teams, which are values determined by the marketplace, as well as how they do. FanVest is launching a free-to-play March Madness Portfolio Challenge on Selection Sunday, March 17th, with a $5,000 cash prize for the winning portfolio. Beyond simply picking a bracket, which locks you in for the entire tournament, you can be busted. FanVest lets you play through the final round, a.k.a. reinvesting. I would imagine if you're sucking, you can reinvest your teams in the low seeds and possibly get some upsets. On Selection Sunday, sign up for free at FanVestWageringExchange.com. That's FanVestWageringExchange.com to instantly receive 1,000 fan bucks to build the portfolio of teams you think will advance. Team shares are priced based on historical winning percentage, which adjusts as the tournament progresses, allowing you to reinvest in the remaining teams after each round. If you're bullish on a particular team, you can increase your exposure the way a bracket won't let you, or get rewarded by picking lower-seeded teams without risking busting your bracket. Join FanVest at FanVestWageringExchange.com for your shot at the $5,000 prize, and everyone in the top 10 gets at least 100 bones. You know I'm going to be in. This is awesome. I'm excited for it also to roll out later in the season with the real McCoy, baby, the real money. Check out FanVest Wagering Exchange before the tournament starts. This episode is being sponsored by MyBookie.ag for a 100% sign-up bonus. Please visit MyBookie and use the promo code The Odds Breakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs, you'll get my premium picks. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com and sign up to be a monthly subscriber at $12.99 a month. We'll give you our picks before the line moves. $14.99 a month to become a patron subscriber, getting all that and the podcast a little early. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a Freeze Picks newsletter subscriber.
Oh, yeah!
All right. Now, moving into our agenda, we are going to go over what I like to do when I pick out my bracket. And I'm going to go over my bracket with you. Does that mean I'm not going to fill out 100 more brackets? No. I will also fill out 100 more brackets. Well, who knows, maybe 10. But I always put my heart and soul into the main one, and I never take credit if I'm filling out multiple brackets, unless it's my main one. I guess you can do whatever you want with that. I have buddies that fill out like 50 brackets, and then they'll win one and brag about it. But to be honest with you, I'm going to share my bracket at our new bracket challenge. Free bracket challenge for all of you listeners. Please visit our site. You'll see the link on CBS Sports. It's called The Odds Breakers, as usual. And you can join our free bet bracket challenge. Become a newsletter subscriber. You can just click our newsletter and see where it is. We will give you $250 for free to win it. $150 for second and $50 for third. Completely free from CBSSports.com. If you fill out your bracket and join our group, The Odds Breakers. There's absolutely no reason not to. You know, you're going to be going up against a lot of very knowledgeable people. Obviously, if I win it, I'm not going to count it. Chances of that are probably pretty low, as we know brackets. Usually it's a woman wearing a purple shirt that wins these things. But we're definitely happy to give back to you. All you have to do is retweet the latest podcast, take a picture of it, send it to admin@theoddsbreakers. You are in, qualified to win first cash prize. All right, so let me go over what I like to do with my bracket. And real quick, I actually have four plays. Well, none of them are plays. There's some leans for our play-in games. But first, I'm going to tell you what I like to do. I like to look at teams judging by four things. I like to look at their away stuff because we know it's a neutral court. Now, if I get into handicapping the game itself, I'll look at neutral courts and a lot more than this matchups. But when it comes to filling out the bracket, I look at, obviously, the matchups a little bit. Don't care about the spread so much when I'm filling out my bracket. And then I look out. These things are really key to me. Not mention you want to see where the money's going. But I like to look at away field goal percentage. Because you know it's not at home. None of these teams are playing at home. Away is going to tell you a little bit about more about the average. Because there's some teams out there that have higher averages that they really could do on the road. Now, the road is probably going to be maybe a little lower because there's a tournament mentality here. There's some fans there. But at least you know that if they can stick it out on the road, right? So I'd like it to look at every single team in the tournament's field goal percentage. I like to look at their away offense. I like to look at their away defense. How do you defend on the road? I also take the variance there. And then I like to finally look at the strength of schedule. For instance, Gonzaga has the best away field goal percentage at 52.3%, shooting over very short people in the West Coast Conference. They have the second most points at 85 per game. They allow 71.4 points, which is kind of a lot, but they play fast. And their variance, 85 minus 71.4, is 13.6 points. They have the second highest variance, actually. There's another team, a quick mention in a minute. But their schedule sucked. Now, their non-conference was actually, I applaud them. They played Tennessee, UNC, and Duke. But they lost two or three of those games. They did get Duke. We know Duke has a few issues themselves, 3 points and free throws. But yeah, I got to tell you, this schedule was pretty bad. That doesn't mean I'm off of them, though. You know, Gonzaga is a very dangerous team. And, man, they have an amazing coach in Mark Few. So they also have the easiest 2-seed possibly of Michigan. So there's that wrench right there for you. Some teams that stick out, you know. Montana shoots 50% on the road, but they had a bad schedule. Murray State's pretty high, 48.8% on the road. 10.8 variance between their away offense and their away defense. That's good. They beat teams well on the road, but their schedule is medium bad. But I'm liking what I see from Murray State right there, you know, as far as those numbers. But the schedule was medium bad. So I don't think they beat any top 50 teams either. Well, you know, let's take a quick look. This is important. Everyone's saying to bet Murray State. Let's take a look. They play Bama back in November, lost. Auburn lost, only by 5 this time. Belmont lost by 13. No other top 100 teams did they win. Their only other loss was Jacksonville State, though, and they kind of, you know, ran through their schedule, faced Belmont again, got their revenge there. They have a great player in Ja Morant, as everyone says. But, I don't know, what do they have after Ja Morant? You know, that's a good question. Maybe something to think about when you're handicapping Marquette. What if they double team them? Next, I want to pick out Michigan, actually. You know, I complained about them and think they're wrong-seeded by the way they do it. On KenPom, it's actually right. You know, they actually shoot 48.3% on the road, hard schedule, you know, destroyed North Carolina earlier this year, 74.5 points they score away, and 68.7, a 5.8 variance. The numbers say Michigan's a pretty good team, and Virginia's the biggest variance and the hardest schedule. 47.7% on the road they shoot, 74.1 away offense, 57.5 away defense, 16.6 points on average. They had a pretty decent schedule, you know. I mean, they played teams like Dayton, Maryland, Wisconsin, VCU, Florida State. Well, when their schedule started, I mean, South Carolina, they destroyed a lot of teams. They make them look bad. There's some weaknesses. You know, for some reason, Duke has their number. North Carolina seems to kind of have Duke's number. Well, now Zion's back, who knows? And Duke seems to have, well, Virginia seems to have Duke's North Carolina's number. So there's that. We'll see who all makes it. Iowa State shoots pretty well on the road, 46.9%, but they only average 3.7 more points on the road than they do allow. Medium hard schedule. Kentucky, this was interesting. 46.8 points or percent they shoot. 74.4 they score on the road, and 70.2 they allow on the road. Now, you know the SEC is tougher, but Kentucky had a very, very hard schedule. They played Duke, and that was just a beatdown, and that probably threw some of the numbers off. Seton Hall, North Carolina, Louisville. You know, they played some tough teams there. And so I guess some of their away games, they weren't closing out a ton, except for some of the tomato cans like Vanderbilt. But, you know, they also had some injuries. Kentucky's very dangerous. Another one I like is Utah State, 6.6 variance, medium schedule, 46.5% on the road. So those are some really good teams. Tennessee, 49.6%. They have a 5.8 variance, hard schedule. Tennessee is one of my top teams. Here's my top six that should, you know, make the Final Four. Don't know if they will. I mean, we saw Baltimore, Maryland beat Virginia. Any given day, any team could lose to a top team. Well, any team, really. But I have my top teams as Tennessee. No order here, by the way. Tennessee, Michigan State, and because Michigan State actually shot really well, 48.3% on the road, 5.8 variance, very hard schedule. Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke. And Virginia. So those are my top six teams. And, you know, just that's by looking at kind of these numbers and KenPom's numbers, defense and everything. Now, some teams to fade. You know, you're looking at some teams are negative in the tournament, you know. Seton Hall's hot, which is dangerous, but they shoot 43.9%. and they allow 1.4 points on the road. Then they score. Hard schedule, though. You have team like Washington, who Washington was not that good this year. They only scored 0.1 more points on the road than they allowed. 68.9 they scored, allowed 68.8. Super easy schedule. So that really says something when you look at the schedule. I mean, you're looking at some of these teams that barely won their tournaments, like the North Dakota States, you know. North Dakota State allowed 5.8 points more on the road with a bad schedule. NC Central allowed 5.4 more. But some of the teams you care about betting, Baylor allowed 1.3 points more on the road, 43.9 shooting percentage. Minnesota shot 40.7% on the road. They scored 63.6 and allowed 68.9. That's a minus 4.7 advantage. So everyone's playing up the Patino thing. Maybe it's Louisville that wants the revenge. Think of that. So those are just some of the numbers that I went through, and this was part of the way I filled out my bracket, obviously doing the KenPom, checking the spreads, checking the movements, and all that. So let's get into it. Now, the art of filling out a bracket isn't just who the best teams are. You know, it's how you beat the rest of the teams if you think there's a weakness enough that could be exposed. It's not, I mean, and to be honest with you, over 50% of the brackets are going to be Duke. I'm sorry, it is. So you might pick Duke in a bracket of 100 people, and you might take 30th place, you know. So when I fill out my bracket, I keep that in mind, but I don't always pick. I pick teams that the matchup could beat them. You know, that's important to me. But anyways, real quick, let's blow through it. Obviously, I got Duke winning that game against, the play-in game, North Dakota State, North Carolina Central. That's going to be a brutal game for those poor guys. Then you got UCF versus VCU, and I'm so torn on this one. Not going to lie, there's different ways of looking at this one. I think I want UCF, but I am fine if you pick VCU there. Don't matter. Mississippi State against Liberty, ran the numbers. I like Liberty in some ways, but Mississippi State should be able to take care of business. I looked at Liberty's schedule. They have no good wins, quality wins. Virginia Tech, I have getting by St. Louis. I have Belmont or Temple beating Maryland. LSU beating Yale. Another sweetheart everyone's picking is Yale. I think LSU might feel a little insulted there. Louisville over Minnesota. Michigan State over Bradley. Gonzaga. I have Syracuse beating Baylor. Marquette beating Murray State. And there's reasons for that. Marquette's smart. They just look at Murray State's best player and take them out. You know? I mean, Marquette was a top 20 team for a while. And then we have Florida State beating Vermont. Buffalo beating Arizona State or St. John's in a closer game than you think. Texas Tech beating Northern Kentucky. Nevada beating Florida. Michigan beating Montana. The other side, we have Virginia rolling. We have Ole Miss beating Oklahoma. We have Wisconsin beating Oregon. Surprise, surprise, right? Boy, is Oregon public dog all the way to a favorite. Kansas State, if Wade is playing, I am picking him. If Wade isn't, I'm picking UC Irvine. Villanova against St. Mary's. I love Nova. Purdue is going to get past Old D. Old Dominion, and a tougher matchup than people think. Cincinnati, ugh, I'm fading Cincinnati. Iowa is going to win this game, and it's because I've seen them handle defenses before. Normally they lose against the good defense, but Cincinnati's offense is not good. Everyone's going to be on Cincinnati because of what they saw when Houston shot 30%. Now Houston would have lost to Manhattan that game. So just know that Cincinnati is getting a little bit too much love here. Tennessee, I have, obviously. North Carolina. Utah State, smoking Washington. I love that one because of the reason that I said. Now, maybe this motivates Washington coming in as a dog. But right now, it's all Utah State for me. I have an upset. My 5-12 upset. As you know, we didn't pick Wisconsin playing Oregon. We didn't pick Murray State. We didn't pick Liberty, but we are picking New Mexico State. Auburn's on their high horse right now. They won the SEC tournament. They partied extremely hard. New Mexico State is a great shooting team, and they are legit. You know, they're in a very bad division. Don't get me wrong. But let me go over some of the things that New Mexico State does. They shoot 46.4% on the road. They score 77.3% on the road, allow only 66.3% on the road. They had a bad schedule. You know, no huge wins, obviously. But they've been blowing out people. And I kind of feel more comfortable taking the team that has something to prove. Auburn just won something. They might get jumped here. New Mexico State shoots very well. Very, very well. So there's that. Anyways, if that doesn't work out, I don't have Auburn going all that far anyway. Or sorry, New Mexico State going all that far anyway. I have another big upset in this bracket. I don't know what you're all going to think about this, but I have Northeastern beating Kansas. This is Northeastern's Super Bowl, and they smell blood here, okay? They smell blood. 47.5 shooting percentage on the road. They outscore their opponents by only 3.2, but they had a decent, you know, non-conference schedule. You know, they played teams like Virginia Tech, Davidson, Syracuse. You know, they lost to those teams. But I really like the way they finished. I like the fact that they shoot fifth best in the nation, 57.2% field goal, and 38.8% three-point percentage. This is kind of one of those, like, Baltimore games that could happen, shooting their minds off when, you know, Auburn might not buy a bucket. So if you're going for upsets, I like shooting teams. You know, this team smells blood. Kansas has been one of the worst ATS away teams in all of college basketball. So that's the upset. The next one I have is Iowa State beating Ohio State handily. Houston beating Georgia State. I do like a hard-fought game by Georgia State, man. I do like that. Wofford playing Seton Hall. I like Wofford. I like Seton Hall, but this is another really, really tough one for me because if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, it would have been Wofford hands down, but Seton Hall has been so hot and they are more talented. You know, Wofford has been together for a long time. So, you know, it's hard for me to fade Wofford. But Seton Hall, they have some big boys, and they have some serious players over there. You know, they rank 29th in height. Wofford's like 150. Miles Powell's just been killing it. You know, that Villanova game really could have went anyway, and Seton Hall could have won that. So I know everyone's going to be on Wofford. I will be the lone one on Seton Hall. And, of course, Kentucky rolls. All right. Now, if I have a Sweet 16 Cinderella, it's Northeastern because they would play New Mexico State and get to the Sweet 16 that way. Just because of what I said, they're shooting. And it's fun to pick one of these. It's probably going to happen, but we just do not know who it's going to be, right? But, you know, looking at Auburn's success recently and look at what they did all year, you know, they went from one of the most undervalued teams to one of the most overvalued teams just in about a week. So there you go. Now, quickly, might as well just go right to the end here. Duke versus Michigan State. And I'll tell you right now, I have picked Michigan State. Okay. I think Duke is better than Michigan State. I think Michigan State is awesome. But I think Michigan State's a top four team, but I think Duke's better with Zion. But I'm looking to win the bracket challenge. I think Duke beats Michigan State on a neutral court 6.5 times out of 10. 65% of the time. Okay? If you look at the spread between these games, I can tell you what it is right now. If Duke played Michigan State, Duke would be favored by like 2 points. Now, would it get bet up? Sure. But literally, if you look at power ratings, if you look at KenPom, you would see that Duke is not that big of a favorite. On the other side, I have Gonzaga playing Texas Tech. And I almost put Marquette there. But I'm going to go with Gonzaga. But I like Texas Tech because I think their offense has more upside. And Michigan struggles when they play a great defense. You saw them lose to Michigan State. You saw them lose to Wisconsin this year. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, Michigan didn't play the best defenses in the world. You know, I mean, Rutgers, Ohio State's been down. Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, you know. And their non-conference, they played North Carolina, which, you know, is just all run. They played Villanova before they got their feet wet on November 14th. I think for value, you're going to get Texas Tech. And so that's why I went with them. Now, this Michigan will be favored by about 1.5 to 2 points, I believe. But I still think that the value here is with Texas Tech, and I like the fact that they lost. I like their motivation coming in. Michigan went all the way to the big dance last year. It's time for somebody else. On the other side, I got North Carolina versus Kentucky, and I have North Carolina winning in a barn burner. I'm completely fine if people pick Kentucky. As a matter of fact, I'll have different brackets with Kentucky. But in this one, my main one, I put my heart on, I'm going North Carolina. And then we have Virginia versus Tennessee. Big surprise there. I have Virginia. So the final four, Michigan State, Texas Tech, Virginia, North Carolina. March is Izzo's month. Virginia is going to be happy to make it to the Final Four in the first time in forever. North Carolina beats Virginia in a speed game. They outshoot them, just speed them to death. Michigan State beats Texas Tech with their fact that they're top eight in almost every category. And Michigan State plays North Carolina, and I have North Carolina winning it all. Now, yeah, better chance if Michigan State wins. But to be honest with you, if you have Michigan State versus North Carolina, and you might even beat some people with North Carolina that didn't get the Final Four right. So that's my bracket. And if you have any questions, you can tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Check out our website and reach out to us. All right. It's time to move on to some picks for the earlier game. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to have Kyle Hunter on to break down some tournament games. We might go head-to-head on some. Who knows? I'm going to have some leans and some plays. Kyle obviously has a giant customer base. He'll give you his leans, and he'll give us a play. But as for right now, you know, I want to educate people as much as they can from Kyle's knowledge on how he approaches this whole thing. So you're going to get that tomorrow. But the way I look at it, I went and did write-ups on the four play-in games today, and I hope to have a slight write-up on every game. Now, that might not happen. I think it'll happen, but I have some other handicappers that's going to be throwing out some games as well. Let's get started, though, shall we? NCAA tournament play-in games. So what we're looking at is Temple versus Belmont here. We all know Belmont likes to run, and they shoot very well at 47.8%. You know, they're like a, you look at their numbers, you really want to play on them. 10.1 variance, as I said before, but that extremely bad schedule. They score 85.5 points per game, which is number one in the league over Gonzaga. And they only give up 75.4 on the road. It's a nice variance. Obviously, they don't play a ton of defense. They play fast. So does that Ohio Valley division. Now, these are great numbers, but the only problem with them is that their best wins are against Lipscomb and Murray State. And you saw what happened the last time they played Murray State. Temple is lucky to make the tournament as an at-large, but everyone was screaming for them because they like fast-paced basketball. They stuck out over betters, things like that. Now, people say that Temple is lucky to be in the tournament as an at-large, ranking 76 on KenPom, only shooting 43.3% on the road with us at 72 points per game, giving up 71.8. Not that good. 1 point difference. But they had a lot harder road in the American Athletic Conference, as you should see or have seen. What I like about Temple is that they're pretty tall. You know, they can guard well down low, which is Belmont scores most of their points. I think, well, 45%, and I think free throws and 3 points make the difference. But, you know, Belmont runs and likes to speed up the pace, but Temple's done pretty well against those teams like Memphis and Tulsa. So they've seen this before, right? Temple's kind of like a Jacksonville State to me a little bit. You know, I think they kind of play the same style. And Jacksonville State, with their tall guards and, you know, just the way they zone and stop Belmont from their picks. They know how to stop the threes. They get down low quick. You know, they get muscled when they play the bigger teams, the Houstons and the Cincinnati's and stuff like that. But they've done well against high-powered offenses. So they even beat Houston one game, and they lost the other game to Houston by 7. So, you know, I'm leaning Temple here in the over. It's a lean. It's almost a like. Let's see where the public takes Belmont. Okay. That thing goes over 5.5. Trust me, I'm going to be a buyer on the Temple side. Barley Dickinson versus Prairie View A&M. Now, I didn't want to write these names so much. So I actually abbreviated them because that's pretty much all they're worth. These teams were made for each other. You know, Prairieville, they rank next to each other at 208 and 209 on KenPom. That's why the spread's so low. You know, if you look at the spread, it's right now, it's Prairie View A&M plus 2. And the reason that is because Prairie View A&M, the SWAC, has one of the worst conferences. They're all ranked like 330 to 350. They're terrible. So that kind of tells you right now, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson might be the side here, but you know, Fairleigh Dickinson plays offense well, but man, their defense is terrible. And even Prairie View A&M's ranks a little bit ahead of them. Both teams give up more points on the road than they score, even in those bad conferences. You know, Prairie View shoots about 43.4% on the road, and Fairleigh Dickinson shoots about 45.1 on the road. I'm not going to spend too much time here. I'm going to lean Fairleigh Dickinson minus 2, and I'm going to lean the under 149. But this is definitely going to be an ugly game. You're going to see way better games in the other conference tournaments. I mean, sorry, the other NCAA tournaments. All right. NC Central versus North Dakota State, minus 5.5, over-unders 135. Another two teams made for each other, really. Both of them were bad on the shooting. About 43.5% they averaged on the road. Allowed about 5.5 points more than they scored on the road. NC Central is by far the worst team in the tournament. They rank 303 on KenPom, Well, North Dakota, Dakota State ranks 199. I mean, that's almost a third difference. You know, probably close to maybe like 3/8 difference right there. One thing that sticks out to me here is that North Dakota State's played a much harder schedule than NC Central. You know, NC Central's in one of those terrible divisions. The Eagles haven't even beaten a top 260 team. Okay. NC Central, that's why they're ranked 303. They haven't even beaten a top 260 team, and only one they recently beat ranked like 264. I'm not going to look it up again. These are my notes. I don't remember seeing a team this bad making the tournament. Not for a long time anyway. Something might ring a bell, but not going to research it. One thing NC Central has done is slow the pace down, okay, and play a little bit better D. That's why the under is 5-0 in their last five games. I think due to the harder strength of schedule, though, I can see North Dakota State winning this game by more than 5.5, but I'm not that much more than 5.5. I'm leaning North Dakota State minus 5.5 and under 135. And if for any reason that line goes down, you know, I might possibly be a buyer here. But right now, this game's not going to be good. 74% of the money is actually on the under, while 40% of the tickets are on the under. So there's a sharp side. And North Dakota State, it went all the way up to 5. Now there's some sharp side hitting NC Central. So 57% of the money's on NC Central, but only 26% of the bets. All right. I'm going to lay off this one. But I think you might like the fact that I do have one play for y'all. And it's, of course, the better game, Arizona State versus St. John's. Arizona State is about a one-point favorite. Total is 153. What's up with the Pac-12, huh? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about ASU, though. They beat a very tough Kansas, Mississippi State, and Utah State teams early in the year, only to fade out in Pac-12 play. They lost some bad ones to USC, Washington State at home. I mean, I'm not even sure who's worse, Washington State or Cal. You know, I mean, these teams are awful. So, you know, looking at, you know, some of the metrics here, Arizona State doesn't look too bad, right? Out of their last 8 games, they won 6, and they only lost to Oregon during that. You know, in the Pac-12 tournament, it went to overtime. That says something. St. John's, on the other hand, is lucky to be in with their best non-conference wins against VCU and Rutgers. I don't know how the Johnnies got in, but they got in. The Red Storm gives out about 2.5 more points per game on the road than they score on the road. So St. John's not only had a bad non-conference schedule, they also give up more points on the road. ASU gives up about the same. You know, makes you wonder what the hell happened, but I guess it's those, you know, high elevations and things in the Pac-12 schedule that really screwed them up. But both of these teams play at a fast pace. Both of them average 70.5 plays per game. The only thing that sticks out to me the most here is that ASU did great on neutral floors this year. Great. They beat Mississippi State and Utah State on neutral floors. I like that for Bobby Hurley. Now, St. John's, Chris Mullin, they played one neutral floor game against Georgia Tech. Bad Georgia Tech, one of the, you know, lower teams in the ACC, and they only won by 3. Man, I also like how ASU's been on a tear lately. Like I said, 6 of the last 8 games since February 14th. Chris Mullin is a good coach, but the Johnnies, they've been sucking lately. They've been losing and on a very bad losing trend. I mean, let's just take a quick look here. Out of the last 7 games, they lost 5. And 2 were Xavier, 1 was DePaul, 1 was Providence. I mean, they did beat Villanova when Villanova had that slump. But Jesus, what the hell happened to St. John's? Everything here is screaming to bet ASU because of what they did on a neutral floor, and I'm buying into it. The play is ASU minus 1, and I lean over 153. My numbers have it to about 159. It's close. but I'm leaning over 153 because they're both on, you know, neutral courts. And if St. John's just completely folds again, you know, this game could go under pretty easily. All right. Well, if you have any questions, please tweet us at the Odds Breakers. We'll be back tomorrow with Kyle Hunter and break down some NCAA tournament picks. I hope you guys have a fantastic night and go get some.